The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Football Friday day on the Leach Report, and a beautiful fall day we have. Going to be a little warmer. Next week, the cool-down is coming for the home game against Tennessee next Saturday. It could be chilly, but today it is beautiful for a Friday to play a little hooky at Keeneland, and then supposed to be like this down in Starkville for Kentucky and Mississippi State tomorrow, I think in the mid to high 70s. Neil Price will join us. We'll get a little weather report and scouting report from him when he joins us. Now the voice of Mississippi State football and men's basketball and former voice of women's basketball and baseball here at Kentucky. So we'll catch up to Neil here in just a bit. Ben Huffman from Keeneland previews the weekend out at the track. Craig Skinner talking about the tremendous season for UK volleyball. Freddie Maggard with the Burger 5 Football Friday segment. That's what's coming up on the show today. The guest lineup each day is presented by Sleep Outfitters, and go to sleepoutfitters.com to find the nearest store to you. You can interact with us via Twitter @LeachReport. Email, it's leachreport@gmail.com, or you can call toll-free at 877-904-1080 anywhere in Kentucky. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. That's a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Blue-white game tonight, and Coach Cal, once again, going to pay the spring tuition for a couple of students, so that should boost the student turnout for the game tonight. Cats are a little shorthanded. Baker's still injured, as far as I know. Vanderbilt's out. So they've had some injury issues, and so that'll give them limited numbers for the game tonight. Dave Baker, Mike Pratt will be on the call on the UK Sports Network because they'll be heading to Starkville, so should get down there in time to catch some of it on the live streaming coverage. Kentucky, Mississippi State tomorrow in Starkville. Mark Stoops talked to the media yesterday, said Jordan Jones looks close to 100%. He's really brought energy to the defense with his return the last couple of weeks. Stoops said Charles Walker, wide receiver, is back as well. He was dinged up in the Eastern Michigan game. He was also asked about the talk about Josh Allen as a potential first-round draft pick. And Stoops, not a big fan of such talk. He says it can be a distraction. He's talked to Josh about staying focused. A few things to watch for tomorrow, and just looking at the matchup, and we'll get deeper into this when Freddie joins us to break it down. But big plays have been an issue for a Mississippi State defense that has been very solid. They're only giving up an average of 12 first downs a game, but teams have hit them for big plays, and I'm talking 40 or yards or more 10 times this season. So that could be big for Kentucky. It's an aggressive style of defense that they play, and it is hard to, I think, sustain drives against them play after play after play. So if you can hit some big plays and get some big chunks of yardage, could be important in this one. No experience in close games for the Bulldogs this season. They've either been blown out or done the blowing out. Kentucky, of course, has been involved in a lot of close games, so that could be helpful to the Wildcats if they can stay close into the fourth quarter. 7 of the last 10 games in this series have been decided by 8 or fewer points, so history would suggest that it will be a close game. Back to basketball, the USA Today coaches poll out. Kentucky number 4, Duke is number 1, followed by Michigan State and Kansas, and then Arizona checks in to round out the top 5 of the preseason coaches poll. PJ Washington named to the watch list for the Karl Malone Award. And it is College Scholarship Day at Keeneland. They'll give away a scholarship after each of the races today. Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, one of the big sponsors of that. So if you are a college student, it's always a good day to be at Keeneland on a Friday, but especially so today. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. We are served up by Wild Eggs. And when we come back, we will bring in Neil Price for a bit of a scouting report on Mississippi State for the matchup tomorrow in Starkville. This is the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
14 after the top of the hour on this Football Friday edition of the Leach Report. We are served up by Wild Eggs, one of our sponsors in the Lexington area. Paul Miller Ford is having their Family Safety Day tomorrow, so you can take your family out and get updated safety records for your kids. They're going to have a lot of fun activities for the kids. You can learn about ways to stay safe. It's a free event for if you're here in Central Kentucky. You can head out to the Paul Miller Ford location off New Circle Road for Family Safety Day tomorrow and get a lot of good info on keeping your family safe. We bring on Neil Price, our buddy who is now the football and men's basketball voice of the Mississippi State Bulldogs. And Neil, happy to hear you again.
Yeah, good to hear your voice again, too. It's I told Shannon, you know, I did Michael and Kyle's show at KJK the other day, and I said, I'm getting to this point where I'm talking to you about every day of the week again. I said, this is nice. Shannon said, yeah, it's kind of like you never left now. It's, you know, it's like old home week, I guess, you know. We haven't talked to over the last 3 months, and has been nice to kind of get to reconnect with.
A little bit of a bad connection there, Shannon. See if you can reconnect with Neil. I'll tap dance for a second here, and we'll reestablish the connection. Game's at 4 o'clock tomorrow. That means coverage will start at 2, and that's with the Countdown to Kickoff show with Freddie Maggard and Christy Thomas. And they're going to be on the road tomorrow at the Kroger in Frankfort on Brighton Park Boulevard. So if you are in that area, stop by and get your pregame tailgating snacks for your party at home, and say hi to Christy and Freddie. They'll be there before the show, which, again, gets going at 2 Eastern time tomorrow with a 4 o'clock kick. Let's try again to reconnect with Neil. Oh, still efforting Neil. Apologize for the technical issues, but I want to try to get a little bit of a better connection down to Starkville, where Kentucky and Mississippi State are going to square off tomorrow in a game that's important for both teams. Kentucky with a chance to get bowl eligible, and Mississippi State could get within one win, and both set the table for a big second half. Both had the chance to set the table for a big second half with a win tomorrow. And Neil, you know, my first year of doing this with Kentucky football, I had the Kentucky upset of Alabama, so I had a big game in the very first year. And you, what, 3 games in, you had a 37-7 rout of LSU that I'm sure helped you settle into the new job.
Well, you know, what it does is it maybe buys you a little bit of goodwill because even though I don't have anything to do with what happens on the field, boy, you sound a whole lot better when you're winning convincingly against somebody. And
so true.
I've joked with people about that you know, it's been it was good to start 3-0, and you know, after that, now somebody came up and offered any constructive criticism was after Auburn handed it to us pretty good, you know, weeks later. So I said, you know, there are peaks and valleys for everybody, and everybody gets held a little more accountable when things aren't going well. But, yeah, that LSU game was really something because I thought State had a chance to beat them, but I thought it would be in a close game. I never imagined that they'd come out and just grab control of it early and kind of run away and hide with it. So it's interesting because that game and the two games that followed with Georgia and Auburn, it's been hard to get a read on exactly where State is because they haven't played a close game. I mean, when they've won convincingly. When they've lost, they've been beaten soundly. So it's kind of hard to get an idea of where they're really at the halfway point of the year.
Dan Mullen's done a really nice job with the program there. I think it's probably a script somewhat similar to what Mark Stoops will hope to follow here at Kentucky, where he has built that program to where they're they go consistently go to bowl games, and then every few years they can get a good group of veterans. You get a good quarterback like they had with Dak Prescott. They got to number one in the country a couple of years ago. So it's been a real consistent presence, and it's built certainly around a very strong rushing attack.
Yeah, and that's been the steadiest part, I think, of what they've done, Tom, is that, you know, every game, with rare exception, they've been able to get something going on the ground, and they got a lot of different ways they can do it. So Harris Williams gets a lot of the press, and he should. You know, he's one of the top, I think, top 10 in the league in yards per rushing yards per game. And he's a workhorse, you know. He's just a guy, you can keep feeding it to him, and he keeps producing. But then, you know, you've got behind him a freshman from down the road in Columbus named Kylan Hill, who has played very well. You've got Nick Gibson, who's a sophomore, and then an older guy in Dontavian Lee, who's more like a short yardage or a third down back that can come in and get some tough yards for you because he's just built to do that. And you can't forget about Nick. You know, I mean, Nick's a guy that went over 100 yards last week on the ground. I think he's had two 100-yard rushing games. He and Harris Williams both went over 100 last week against BYU. And Nick's just really, really good at understanding when the pocket begins to collapse, when he needs to push the eject button. But on the design runs and the RPOs, too, he's just really sharp when it comes to making the proper read. He rarely gets hit for losses when he runs the ball. And he's built big enough, too, that, you know, he's a tough guy to bring down. I mean, he's a big runner when you talk about putting the ball in his hands.
Weather's supposed to be nice tomorrow, right?
81, I think, is okay. The high tomorrow, and that means we'll be close to that with that mid-afternoon game when we kick off at 4 Eastern. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a really nice day. And I tell you, now you get into October here, everyone told me the humidity just leaves one day. You just get up and it's gone, and it's not a gradual disappearance. And I'm experiencing that now in October, and it has been beyond pleasant. When you think about how the weather's been. So I hope it's a really, really nice day tomorrow.
Somebody asked me earlier this week, they said, does Neil have his own personalized cowbell yet? So do you?
I don't have a personalized one. I have two that when I got the job, Mom and Dad were in the process of doing some cleaning back home. And Dad's family owned a cattle farm in White Pine, Tennessee, in Jefferson County, the next county over from where I grew up. So they were going through a box of stuff that belonged to my granddad, Dad's dad, and they found two cowbells that actually were around the necks of cows that were on that farm, probably back in the, I don't know, maybe late 30s, early 40s. And they were rusted, and you know, so I took some sandpaper and went to work on them and cleaned them up. So now I have a maroon one and a white one that were not given, but were kind of in a roundabout way by my parents, because the tradition is you don't buy your cowbell. You have to have your first one given to you. And I take it to the game. You know, I take it to the home games. I put it on the windowsill. You know, I'm trying to show folks that we're invested and we're trying to take part in the traditions and do all those things. And, you know, it's been kind of neat. I get a lot of questions about it because mine's very plain compared to a lot of them down here, and I don't have the handle or anything like that like these folks do, but it's interesting. You see some really elaborate cowbells, and I mean, these things go from being, you know, pocket size to all the way up to where they look like there's something they could hit somebody in the back of the head with and do some serious damage. I mean, these things go, they run the gambit, but it's a unique deal, and it makes that stadium tough to play in, no doubt about that. I said, what I hear in the headphones, when I pop the headphones off and just listen for a second when they start ringing those things, it's deafening. It's a really, really big advantage for these guys.
Quick thought on what the key storylines are that will swing the outcome one way or the other tomorrow.
I think it comes down to running the ball, you know, because Kentucky's been so good at defending the run this year, and State has had to lean on running the ball. When they've been able to do it, they've had success. And you know, Todd Grantham's got their defense playing better against the run than it did a year ago, and for that fact, better against the pass than it did a year ago, too. So, to me, I think it's that, and then it's who takes care of the ball better. I mean, because you look at Kentucky again and what they've done on defense, turnover margin stats are among the best in the country. So, you know, who takes care of the ball, who can win the battle on the ground? You know, at the end of the day, if you go back and look at that, I think you're going to find a team that wins those two stats is going to be a team that wins the game.
Well, looking forward to seeing you later this evening for a little dinner, and then at the stadium tomorrow.
We're gonna show you folks the best that Columbus, Mississippi has to offer. I will promise you that. We'll get you out and about a little bit more.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Neil.
See you, Tom.
That's Neil Price, the voice of Mississippi State, and look forward to seeing our buddy tonight when we get into Columbus, Mississippi, which is where the team stays. It's about a half hour or so over to Starkville from Columbus. We are 25 after the top of the hour. Coming back with Ben Huffman from Keeneland on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
We're back on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. Ben Huffman, Racing Secretary at Keeneland, on the line as we got a stakes race a day for this week of the meet. And today it's three-year-old fillies on the turf in the Pin Oak Valley View. And this race always been, Jim Goodman and I on our podcast were talking about it. It's always seems like a full field that doesn't have a clear favorite, and that's kind of what we have again this year, right?
Tom, I would agree with you. This race is every year it seems to overfill. This year it had 15 entries. As you know, we can run 14 on the turf course when the rail is down. After scratch time this morning, I can tell you Sweeping Patty is scratched and the 15 Dancing Breeze is scratched. So we still have 13 three-year-old fillies for the Pin Oak Valley View. And what's interesting about this race, Tom, is these fillies, they're coming from all over, New York, Canada, Maryland, New Jersey, along with our Kentucky-based fillies. And it's pretty wide open, if you ask me.
It's well positioned on the calendar. You got the QE2 last week, and then this is a step down from that in terms of a grade one to a grade three, but both are opportunities just for three-year-old fillies to get black type late in the year, and so I guess that's why they usually draw big fields.
No question about it, and as you know, Tom, horsemen, they do like to keep these three-year-olds and three-year-old fillies with their own age group as long as possible, Yeah, the QE2 and the Pin Oak Valley View just being late fall, it just fits perfectly with what our horsemen are looking for and two popular races. And there's a few fillies in today's race that we're inquiring about invites to the QE2.
Oh, really?
We'll get into that in a minute. But they're perfectly placed for our horsemen.
Who are those that you think were trying to shoot a little higher?
Can you share
that?
I can. It was summertime, but Jimmy Toner inquired about it. Defiant Honor, who's in today. Ignatius Correas, he inquired about Fizzy Friday. And it seems like there was one more. Oh, and the Philly, the Pucker Up winner, Fault. Michelle Lovell and her group, they inquired about the Queen Elizabeth. So those are normally indications that those fillies are doing really good when they're just kind of shooting for a little higher. But ultimately, we all decided on this race, and I'm looking for a good running today.
Yeah, it looks like a really tough one to handicap. Ben, I appreciate the time. It's been a great meet. It just kind of flies by once you get through Fall Stars weekend and just 1 week left. So best of luck with it.
Thank you, Tom.
Ben Huffman from Keeneland. You can follow at Keeneland Racing. Follow at Bet Keeneland. The guest handicapper had a big score yesterday for the Permanently Disabled Jockey Fund. Four-figure score. Back in a moment with more of the Leach Report.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Second half of The Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs. Freddie Maggard is going to join us here in a bit to break down the Kentucky-Mississippi State matchup tomorrow. Want to follow up a couple of the things. We just ran out of time with Ben Huffman at Keeneland. There's a great stake for three-year-old fillies tomorrow, too, the Lexus Raven Run on the dirt. And then you've got turf fillies going long on the grass in the Dowager, the Root and Riddle Dowager on Sunday. So some really good racing this weekend at Keeneland. It is College Scholarship Day today. And as I mentioned, at Bet Keeneland is their new Twitter handle. And they're doing these celebrity handicappers each day to raise money for the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. And I think it was Samantha Siegel yesterday hit a $1 trifecta for over $3,000. So it was a big hit for the PDJF. And you can follow and get the picks of the guest handicappers and other info on that new Twitter handle, at BetKeeneland. All right, let's bring in UK volleyball coach Craig Skinner, who is riding high after a big win over number one Florida last weekend on a long winning streak. Coach, congratulations.
Thanks, Tom. It's been a good ride and a good group to do it with, so it's been a fun week.
What is it that's special about this particular group that has enabled them to do what they've done to this point?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously talent. I mean, they're very athletic and certainly capable in between the lines. And intangibly, they got an it factor, chemistry, you know, 1 through 17, 17 players that just really buy into each other. And whether they're starting or coming off the bench or, you know, making it really difficult in practice for teams to win, it just, seems like there's a good way about them and great staff to get us ready to go. So it's been a lot of things falling into place.
You're back home this weekend to take on Tennessee on Sunday afternoon. I would think of what you accomplished last weekend in Gainesville that you'll have a big old rowdy crowd on Sunday.
I would think so. I mean, our crowds have continued to grow, and you know, the last weekend, a couple weekends ago with Alabama, Auburn had some huge crowds, I think this team is just exciting to watch. I think our crowd identifies with them and really kind of feels like they're in the match with the team. I think they just walk away feeling good about the way that our team performs wearing the uniform and plus the success. I think it's just a great storm and it's been one heck of an environment for us at home, and can't wait to see what it is on Sunday.
I'm assuming for fans that have maybe just have not had a great exposure to volleyball but are just kind of getting caught up in it, that you know, it's a very fast moving game at this level of college volleyball, and then you know there's scoring happens regularly, so you don't have to wait for it. So I would assume those things are part of the appeal.
It's just, you know, when the athletes on the court today are you know, all of our starters are touching 10 feet or higher, and some of them are 10-5, 10-6, 10-7 above, you know, it's 5 or 6 inches above the rim, and the net is 7 feet, 4 inches. They're obviously playing at an altitude that most of us can't get to. So that athleticism along with the scoring, and I think one of the coolest things about our sport is that this, the momentum changes can happen instantly, and whether it's a huge kill or a stuff block, and I think it brings people off their chairs pretty quickly, and it's just kind of sitting there in amazement at some of the things that these guys can do on the floor, and you know, I'll tell you, the SEC Network and ESPN, the amount of volleyball they're covering these days has really helped people understand what the game is about, so they're more familiar with how it goes and how the system runs, and so I think they're more excited to be there at courtside.
I would think it was a good sign of the mental toughness of your team last week. They get off to that great start. They win the first two sets, and then they lose a lead, and Florida comes back and wins the third one, and I'm sure the crowd's getting behind the Gators at that point. And then your team came back and just put them away in the fourth set.
Very impressed with our team, our leadership, our competitors, I was wondering how it was going to feel in the huddle before we went out to the fourth, because we did have a big lead in three and had a chance to sweep, and just this team continues to impress us as a staff of how dialed in they are to what the next point is, and when you have some alpha competitors on the floor and combined with great leadership, it's really about staying in the moment and thinking about what we're doing, not how we're doing. And I think that leads to pretty good concentration to focus for the next opportunity to put a ball away.
1:30 on Sunday?
1:30, yep.
It's Kentucky and Tennessee, 1:30 Eastern time at the Coliseum on Sunday for the red-hot Kentucky volleyball team. Coach Craig Skinner, thank you, sir.
All right, Tom. Appreciate it.
Coach Skinner coming to us on the Kennedy's Wildcat Den hotline. Whether you're headed to Rupp Arena or Kroger Field, shop Kennedy's Wildcat Den for official UK game day apparel, sweatshirts, t-shirts, hats, jerseys. If it's blue, Kennedy's has it for you. Shop online at wildcatden.com. Go Cats and go Kennedy's. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. Freddie Baggert, when we come back.
for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
Welcome back into the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. If you go to their Facebook page, you can do their Pick the Score contest for the game tomorrow for a chance to win a Wild Eggs gift card. It's the Wild Eggs Facebook page, and your chance to win a gift card from Wild Eggs. They serve up our show each and every day, two locations here in Lexington, Palomar Center, and in Hamburg. We'll be back at Palomar for the Monday Morning Quarterback Show with Freddie this coming Monday. Whether you want breakfast, brunch, or lunch, get it at Wild Eggs. And on these cool, crisp fall mornings and middays, enjoy a meal out on the patio at Wild Eggs at either location. Everything's made from scratch, including those homemade cinnamon rolls and fantastic omelets. Breakfast with a bar with an award-winning Bloody Mary or mimosas using fresh-squeezed OJ. Get it all at Wild Eggs. Time for our Burger 5 Football Friday segment with Freddie Maggard. And Freddie is going to be on the pregame show with Christy Thomas tomorrow from the Kroger in Brighton Park Boulevard in Frankfurt, starting at 2 Eastern time. And I was looking at the notes you sent out that you prepare for the broadcast, Freddie, and one thing that you can kind of get into a little bit is, I think, the advantage that Kentucky has in having a veteran quarterback because of some tendencies that you've noticed in Mississippi State defensively and some things that Steven Johnson's recognition ought to help him with.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. And that carries on from last year when Kentucky played Louisville. The same defensive coordinator, Tom Grantham, was coordinating Louisville's defense, not Mississippi State. And there are some tendencies, but you know, that's a very good defense. It's ranked 8th in the country, but, you know, motion still puts it back into a base coverage that Kentucky took advantage of. There's a lot of blitz indicators. Now, Mississippi State will blitz anywhere from between 35 and 45% of the time, so there are some indicators that should tip Steven Johnson off of where the blitz is coming from. A lot of man coverage behind the blitz, and I think that sets up for Kentucky to possibly hit a few big plays tomorrow against Mississippi State.
I would think that it's borderline imperative that they do that, and they haven't hit as many of those big plays as they did last year, but this is a team that's only given up 12 first downs a game, so they would indicate that it's hard to sustain a lot of drives against them, so you need to bite off some big chunks of yardage whenever you can.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom, absolutely. And there will be more opportunities because Mississippi State and Kentucky have a similarity, and their safeties are extremely aggressive against the run. So I think you could see a possible big shot for Kentucky tomorrow. But down the field, when you talk about Mississippi State on 11-12 first down, that's a little bit skewed because Charleston Southern only had 33 total yards in the first game, and Georgia and Auburn scored on explosive plays, so they really didn't rely on the first down. So you take three games out of that. That's a big reason. I'm not taking anything away from Mississippi State, but if you read the numbers, those are three games that kind of skew that average.
Yeah, this is a hard team for me to have a good handle on. I don't know what you've seen from breaking down tape, but you know, BYU, the team they played last week's bad, and Charleston Southern was outmanned. And then they played two really good teams in Auburn and Georgia, and a team that's kind of been up and down in LSU.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. I mean, first thing, when I watched the BYU game, I watched it for about 3 minutes to stop because BYU was so bad it's hard to get anything from that. So I went back and watched the rest of them other than Charleston Southern. Mississippi State's not been in a close game. I mean, the closest game they had was against BYU, and that was 35-10. It's either been beaten really badly or it's blown opponents out. So it's hard to get a read on them. Plus, Dan Mullen, in my opinion, is the best play caller that Kentucky will have faced in 7 games. He's very hard to pick up tendencies about. Only thing, you know, he likes to shuttle pass in third and critical 3rd and 4 to 6 yard plays. And if the tight end's on the line of scrimmage, Fitzgerald normally targets that tight end. Nick Fitzgerald is a great runner, but passer-wise, Tom, he locks in on his receivers early. And if Kentucky can force him to go to read 2 and 3, I think it would help him out. But there are some tendencies that Nick Fitzgerald and tells you, it paints the picture of why he's only completing 54% of his passes.
And he's thrown 6 interceptions, 6 of his 7 in the last 3 games. He's had 2 in each one of the last 3 games.
Yeah, absolutely. He had 12, accounted for 12 touchdowns in the first 3 games. 1 in that stretch against Georgia and Auburn. So this team, Mississippi State, is a team of two different, statistical patterns. Defensively, it's the first in the nation against non-ranked opponents allowing 174 yards, but against ranked opponents, they're giving up almost 400. So that's typical. We saw that with Louisville, with the Todd Grantham defense that absolutely dominated teams that can't score. So we'll see how Kentucky does down there tomorrow. I don't think it's an impossible task, and I don't see why not a lot of people are giving Kentucky a chance in Starkville. I just don't read this game that way.
I sense that the freshman group of receivers is ready to break out here at some point soon, and maybe as soon as Saturday. Bowden certainly is on the list. I think Epps is getting close, too. They've got Ali in the mix. Cleavon Thomas, the guy who was here through spring ball, has only one catch so far. I think the numbers for those freshmen will shoot upward in the second half of the year. You agree?
I do agree, Tom. I do. And then, you know, with man coverage going to be all over the field tomorrow could be a case where one of them has a breakout game. I'm not for sure. But, you know, when you're blitzing 35 to 45% of the time and you got man coverage behind it, you only have to make one person miss and the next thing that's going to happen is your forehead is going to hit the goalpost. I mean, that's just the way it happens when you're a boom or bust defense, and that's what Mississippi State is. I mean, when you throw all your eggs into the blitz basket, that is a high-risk, high-reward system, and that's what Mississippi State's been successful with. You know, that's what Louisville was successful with their Grantham. So Kentucky has a chance to hit some big plays tomorrow. It's just got to be cognizant, got to be aware of the blitz or pressure indicators. Number 12, JT Gray, or that position, a strong safety, that is a pressure indicator. You can see him cheat up. When you see him cheat up, you can see man coverage. When you see man coverage, you can see seven, eight players blitzing the quarterback. So not a lot of disguising. So Steven Johnson should be able to decipher what's going on early.
Question that we had for Monday I didn't get to from Cat's Den, who regularly sends us stuff. He said, should the SEC do something about the Cowbells? And then the second question is, will Kentucky get to see Butch Jones?
But the Cowbells, I mean, I don't know. Is there a league policy against artificial noise in stadiums? If there is, yes. But, I mean, that's a tradition. You know, SEC's made up of traditions. I doubt you ever see that anything happen with the Cowbells. So it is what it is. As far as Tennessee, I'm not for sure Butch Jones makes the trip to Lexington after they travel to Tuscaloosa, yeah.
Aren't we going to probably see some coaches get canned earlier because of the early signing period?
Early signing period, and with the high level of jobs that are possibly to be open, Tom, schools and athletic directors will want to get an early start on it. So if Tennessee goes down there and gets worn out by Alabama, which everybody is projecting, then I'd have a hard time thinking that that Butch Jones would survive that.
Give me two or three of the keys for Kentucky tomorrow to get out of Starkville with a win that would be unexpected given what the spread is.
Yeah, 11.5. You got to win first down, both offense and defense. Mississippi State is ranked in the 100s in the nation. It's third and seven or more on offense. Third and one or two, it's one of the better teams in the country. But third and six or seven, this team is not very good. But Kentucky has to play strong on first down, slow the run with Nick Fitzgerald. That's obvious. And Aris Williams is a running back. For the first time in a long time, Dan Mullen has a running back that's leading his team in rushing. And that's taking some pressure off Fitzgerald. So Kentucky has to be stout early, stout against the run. And three, it's got to deal with this pressure defense. And that starts with how the center is going to handle Jeffrey Simmons, the best nose tackle that Kentucky's seen through seven games. So the Kentucky center position, even if it's Drake Jackson or if it's a rotational basis, they're going to have their hands full tomorrow. And as the center goes, as the nose tackle goes in John Grantham's defense, so does the rest of the defense. So that's an important matchup tomorrow.
So if it is Drake Jackson in that role, and he does well, this would be the second straight weekend that Drake is a big story for UK Athletics.
Absolutely, because good job, Tom. This is the second straight opponent that is a five-star player that Drake Jackson is going to play against. 2 weeks ago. it was Terry Beckner Jr. This week it's Jeffrey Simmons. So whoever's that center for Kentucky will have their hands full, because Simmons is the best nose tackle in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, that'll be one matchup to definitely follow. They'll certainly give him, whoever the, you know, the guards will have to give him a lot of help too, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, the guards will have to chip, and that's why if the nose tackle in that system, Simmons, gets rolling, and then the guards are having to assist, then the four linebackers, Tom, that are all huge. Mississippi State linebackers average 6'4", 245 pounds. That's a big group of linebackers. To go with a big front that averages 6'4", 297 pounds. So this is the biggest defense that Kentucky's faced. And you're going to see safeties and linebackers blend together. There's not a lot of difference. That's how athletic and fast this defense is that Todd Grantham puts on the field.
Well, enjoy the pregame show at the Kroger in Frankfort, and don't eat too much tomorrow.
Okay, Tom. Y'all travel safely now.
Thank you. It's Freddie Maggard, and he'll be back with us on Monday from the Wild Eggs Palomar location for our Monday morning quarterback show. Our Football Friday segments are presented by BurgerFi of Lexington. They just opened their new location a couple of weeks ago down on campus. And so we've got a gift card to give away, and we're going to do it with a trivia question right now. We'll take the first caller with the correct answer to this question as we head to the break. First running back from Kentucky to go over 200 yards came in a game against Mississippi State. Who did it? Give us the answer right now. Give us a call, 877-904-1080. With the correct answer, and let Shannon know. We'll get right back to wrap it up. We have a winner. Sonny Collins, the correct answer. 229 yards in a game against Mississippi State that was played in Jackson in 1973. First Kentucky runner over 200 yards in a game. So that caller will win a BurgerFi of Lexington gift card, and we'll have some more of those to give away in the coming days here on the Leach Report Radio Network. And we appreciate Freddie Maggard breaking down the matchup for us. He and Christy Thomas will be on the air at 2 Eastern Time from the Kroger and Brighton Park Boulevard in Frankfort tomorrow with the Countdown to Kickoff show leading into Kentucky and Mississippi State. Drake Jackson, Freddie Maggard was talking about that matchup. If Drake ends up playing a lot at center tomorrow, he'll be going up against one of the best nose guards in the league, and Jeffrey Simmons. He's seen him before.
He's athletic. He's a big dude, 6'4", 300-pounder. He's really athletic, strong. Played against him at the U.S. Army game. So I played against him there, and he's a good player, so it'll be a good one.
Should be a good one tomorrow, and if it's a close one, I like Kentucky's chances, and I kind of think it will be. We'll be back to talk about it on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. The Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. We'll see you on Monday at Wild Eggs in Palomar.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show, and be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on The Leach Report.